Don't think Mary's back yet, but when she does come back, if you get her to sit near to the family here so that she's not behind the light, because I want to see her face. Okay. Would you turn with me to John chapter 6, if you have a Bible? It's going to come up behind me on the screen. So they went looking for Jesus, and when they found him, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs and miracles I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And then the crowds asked him, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one that God has sent." And so they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our Jewish ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." So we think about what Jesus is saying. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry." What an amazing promise. What do we hunger for? What do we thirst for? Many things. I want to talk about one thing that many people hunger and thirst for. Many of us, all of us, it's called approval. We live our lives for approval. We want people to say, "Well done." There's something that we say in Inverness, which I'm starting to become a little uncomfortable with. When someone does something for me, I say, "Perfect." Have you noticed that? Was that all right? Perfect. Because perfectionism is a great curse. It's a great disease. It's a problem with thankfulness. You know, if we're perfectionists, we can only see the thing that went wrong. We can't see all the good things. And what if you take that to human beings? All of us have failed. All of us know that we don't measure up. Can we not just admit that to God and admit that to each other? And then the pressure's off. But we have this phrase in Inverness, "perfect." I think that reinforces the problem. You'll probably hear me saying it next week, so don't be too hard on me. But Jesus, he was not a people pleaser. In John 5:44, he said to the crowds, he said, "The reason why you find it so hard to believe is because you spend your life as people pleasers rather than God pleasers. And if you really wanted God's approval, then you would trust in him no matter what anyone else thinks. Now, to be a public witness, to be a disciple, to be baptized, is to say, I follow Jesus, and some people will encourage me and applaud me, and other people will think I'm weird. But that doesn't matter, because we're not going for people's approval. We're going for God's approval. In John 6, verse 27, it says that the way to get the bread which does not spoil, to get the life and the strength which lasts forever, is through Jesus. He is the food. He is the bread. He is the one that gives us strength. Why is he the one that we need to go to? Because he is the one on whom the Father has placed his seal of approval. He is the one who God has said, this one, this Jesus, he is the one who represents me on earth. If you see Jesus, you see me. Now, I'm a power of attorney, and you can see my power of attorney document. Can you see that red thing on it? It's the seal of approval. I can phone up the Bank of Scotland and say, I represent Mrs. I won't give you her name. My aunt. I represent my aunt. And I get straight in there and I can see all the debits and credits. When her care is being discussed with the hospital, I'm in there. I'm representing her. What I say is like what she would want. That I am seeking to bring her wishes into action. I have the seal of approval. And Jesus, he has the Father's seal of approval. He completely puts God's wishes into action, whether people like it or not. And they didn't like it, they crucified him. But long before his crucifixion, he was baptized. And on his baptism, heavens were opened, and the voice from heaven, from God, said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Later on, he was on the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, and there was an amazing experience where he got an insight to his future of suffering on the cross. And again, the voice came from heaven, this is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. And isn't that the bread of life we all crave? Isn't that approval from the very day we were born? We just want someone to say that we are loved unconditionally, that we are chosen, that no matter what happens in life, our value does not diminish. I could have a 50-pound note here. Today, I don't have a 50-pound note. I don't even have 50p. Sorry. We'll have to use our imagination. 50-pound note. I could crumple it up. I could stamp on it. Does it lose its value? It doesn't. It's still 50 pounds. And no matter what happens in life, we don't lose our value. We're made in the image of God. We're born with the love of God over us. And that never changes. And especially so if we have loved Jesus and trusted in him. But the reality is that many of us are dealing with rejection. And in Mary's testimony, there was some painful stuff there about people saying to her, you are worthless. Even at some point, she questioned, you know, should I even been born? What damage we do to each other with the words we say. And when we have been rejected, often we spend our life people-pleasing. What will they think of me? What will they say? Will we still be friends if I choose what I want to do? Well, the only way to have this strength, the only way to have this self-worth, the only way to have this security is to look to the one who was rejected. He was despised and rejected. This is Jesus. The one in whom the Father has placed the seal of approval was the one that was rejected and crucified for all of our sins, for all of our careless words, for all of our thoughtless actions, for all of our selfish lack of love. He gave himself completely on the cross for us. And not only did he suffer, but he suffered with a purpose. And the purpose was to forgive us for all our careless words, to forgive us for all our thoughtless actions, so that if we have been someone who has rejected, if we have been someone who has been thoughtless, then we too can come into the smile of God, and he can smile on us today as if we have never sinned. That is how amazing God's forgiveness is, that he forgives us and restores us. It was God that was in Christ, reconciling us to himself. It was God that was in Christ, offering us this healing, this reconciliation, this restoration. And so we come to him today and we say, Lord, I need this love. I've never tasted this love in human relationships. I need this love. I need this acceptance. I've never had this acceptance. This rock-solid, grace-filled acceptance that's not dependent on my performance, but is dependent upon your prior decision to love me. To be rooted in God's love is what we all need. And Jesus says, he's the only one that can provide that. He's the only one that can give us that. And the crowds were asking, how do we get this? How do we get this bread of life? And he said, you need to believe. Believe in the one that God has sent. Believe in me. Trust in him. That's good news, folks. That's not, you need to be perfect. No, you need to trust in the only one that was perfect. The only one that can make you complete. Jesus Christ, Son of God. And if we spend our life, what will other people think? We'll never get there. We'll never receive that bread. We'll never receive that eternal life because we're spending all our time thinking about what will other people think. But isn't that the problem isn't that the original problem? That we're too concerned about what other people think? God is offering us eternal life. He's offering us love and acceptance. He's offering us his son. And when will his opinion matter more than the voices in our heads? When we trust in him and receive his forgiveness as we turn away from all of our sins and trust in him, then we know who we are in Christ. Now, to encourage you, there is the same words that were given to Jesus are given to Mary. Isn't that amazing? Now, you've been baptized today, and we didn't hear a voice from heaven saying, this is my daughter whom I love. with her I'm well pleased, but I'm pretty sure that is the message from heaven today. You have received the Holy Spirit, and Romans 8 tells us that by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit tells us we are God's children. And God is for us. And who can be against us if God is for us? If God speaks for us, all other voices fade away. But it's not a fickle thing. He's chosen us. And he has given us the Holy Spirit. You are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The seal of approval, the Holy Spirit is on you and in you. And the Holy Spirit in you reminds you that you are God's child and that you are rooted and established in his love. And you know what that love does? It deals with all the rejection from the past, because God's love, unlike human love, is a perfect love. And the perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4:18. His perfect love casts out all fear. So we need to trust and know who we are in Christ. And then we live our lives with the overflow of a grateful heart. We're to live our lives to please God, knowing that he is already pleased with us. Knowing that he has rescued us, not by our own merits, but by the merits of Jesus Christ. So on the days when we fail, we can receive his forgiveness and receive his smile. It's quite a powerful image, isn't it? That we can receive God's smile. I don't know if you've ever thought that God's frowning at you. He's not. He's crying until you come home. And when you put your trust in Jesus, he is rejoicing. There is great rejoicing in heaven over one lost sheep that comes home. And God wants us to remember his smile as we serve him, not his frown. He doesn't want us to hear the words, not good enough. He wants us to be realistic and to try our best, but to know that one day, you know, one day he's going to say to you, Mari, good and faithful servant. And that doesn't mean you have to be perfect. It's because he's already decided he's going to say it. And he's going to say it to all of us here today that put our trust in Jesus. And I just want to encourage you today, if you don't remember anything else, perhaps you're tuning in online, and just remember this, that God has everything that you need. Love and acceptance. Strength, purpose, hope. Come to him. Depend on him. And tomorrow morning, have an honest prayer. Give us today, Lord, our daily bread. Give us what we need. I'm a needy person. I need you. I'm a flawed person. I need your grace and forgiveness today. Can we all try to pray prayers like that this week? And release the pressure of the voices in our head and hear God's loving voice over us once again. Let us pray. Father God, we pray with thanksgiving that you have sent your Son, Jesus, to die for us. You have demonstrated your love for us on the cross. You have promised never to leave us or forsake us. And we receive from you today this offer of new life. We thank you for this seal of approval, which was on Jesus and which can be on us. We receive the Holy Spirit, the mark of ownership of a child belonging to God. And help us to lift our heads this week, not because we're perfect, but because we are forgiven. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.